Are you serious about writing a nonfiction book this year? Author Accelerator is offering a nonfiction book incubator starting February 28, 2022. There are only a few seats in this intensive program because you will get one-to-one coaching on every single step of the process, and you will have the chance to pitch your proposal to a pool of agents and publishers at the end. A fabulous opportunity. So, apply for the program at bookcoaches.com/non-fiction-incubator and write that down or check the show notes because this is all kind of under the radar. It's a really small program and you're not going to be able to Google it. Every applicant gets a strategic session with Jenny Nash to kickstart your work. We think Jenny and her book coaches are terrific. So apply for the program and tell her we sent you.
Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay.
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause. I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now one, two, three.
Okay.
Hey, I'm KJ Dell'Antonia, and this is Hashtag Am Writing. Hashtag Am Writing is your weekly podcast about writing all the things, short things, long things, essays, pitches, proposals, entire books of the nonfiction and fiction variety. In short, this is the podcast about sitting down and getting that work done.
I'm Serena Bowen. I'm the author of more than 30 novels, and last week I hit the USA Today bestsellers list for the 21st time. So that was my little thing to celebrate on a book called The Best Men. And you can find me at serenabowen.com.
That is a big thing to celebrate. And we're all celebrating. So that is really super cool. I feel like there should be like some term for 20. I don't know. There should be like a special word you get when you have more than 20. But I don't know what that
or would like be. A special right. gift, you know, the toaster year of...
Absolutely. Like, this is the iron.
Yeah.
Silver. It's your silver anniversary of, we should look that up because it's clearly something. All right. So it's just Serena and me, KJ Dell'Antonia, today. And I didn't introduce myself, so I will. I am KJ Dell'Antonia. I am the author of the novel, The Chicken Sisters, and the forthcoming novel, In Her Boots, expected this July. I am also the former editor and lead writer for The Motherlode at The New York Times, where I was a longtime freelancer and journalist, and that's pretty much where I am right now.
Well, all right.
So we have a fun topic today, and this was Serena's idea, so I'm going to let her take it away.
Well, more than 25 years ago now, a book was published that has definitely entered the canon of writers... of reference material that, you know, all writers should try to connect with at some point. And I'm talking about The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And she introduces several tools in this book. This book is more than just that technique that we'll be talking about today. But the one that we wanted to try on that I had never tried on before is called Morning Pages. And we will link in the show notes to a 2-minute video from the author herself explaining what morning pages really are, because of course we want you to go right to the source and, you know, definitely maybe read the book if this is interesting to you. But we wanted to perform a little experiment doing morning pages ourselves. And she says this is 3 pages of handwritten notes that you do first thing in the morning. And KJ, tell our listeners what our immediate like pushback against this was.
I had so many pushbacks. Morning, first thing, morning, and also neither of us is a journaler. So we are not inclined to write things that are not intended at some point to either be read by another human or to make their way into something. I think that that's a barrier we shared.
That was. And then also just the idea of adding work to our writing day. So every day I've already got a goal of things I want to write. And it seems often insurmountable. So here's someone telling me, no, you need to write these three other pages first. So of course that was the big stopper there. But if you listen to her say in her own words what she wants this work to be, it's really about clearing your mind so that you can go and do that other work. It's she says she often starts hers with, good morning, I'm grumpy. I forgot to buy kitty litter. I forgot to wash the curtains. You know, and it's like a palate cleanser experience to sort of set aside all the things that were going to get in your way of writing the thing that you so desperately are supposed to be working on. And once I really heard her say that, then something kind of clicked with me. Like, oh, really? Okay.
I still struggle. So you when something clicked for you, you came and said, okay, let's give this a try. And I can tell you when that was, because I'm looking at my book of morning pages here on, I'd actually have been trying to journal. So it was November 15th, 2021. And I had already been trying to journal a little bit, inspired by David Sedaris, but it was more of a trying to record funny things that had happened during the day, and just, you know, get a few things down. It was more geared toward that. So I have like a whole set of October entries, and then in November I started to try to do it the Julia Cameron way, the brain clearing way. And I didn't get very far. Did you?
Well, you know, yes and no. So if I were trying to journal like David Sedaris, I would write exactly nothing, because that's a bit intimidating to me. Like, to even in the haze of my evening remember what was so funny about today or what startling thing happened to me. And of course, starting that during a pandemic is totally not fair, because yes, a lot of his wonderful journaling happens on the road. So he's in Germany or Alaska.
Yeah, he would start his entries with, you know, a timestamp and a date stamp. And I did that a couple times and got really sad really fast.
Right?
So I will actually never be doing this from somewhere else. I will say, in David Sedaris' defense, that I guess maybe in the intro to his second volume of diaries, he talks about how he is often not, he'll jot stuff down, but he's not necessarily putting it into his actual diary until he gets home or until later. So instead, he's sort of carrying, you can picture him carrying around a notebook and writing down a word, like, you know, monkey, and then going back and that drawing up the memory for him. And that felt a little more manageable to me, but still, yeah. All the entries start with Lyme, New Hampshire. So right. I gave that up pretty fast.
Yeah. So anyway, from an intimidation factor, I am really drawn into the Julia Cameron method, and mine do start out with, you know, who I'm angry at, you know, or, you know, so-and-so almost missed the bus again. So that was fun. And he blamed me for it, which makes no sense, or whatever it was that was sort of sitting on me.
But every day you can always write, I didn't wash the curtains.
I mean,
that could just be. That's a given.
I don't even own the curtains, KJ.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough standard to meet. Buy curtains, right. Wash them.
Right, hang them. Ouch. So, but the magic here is that it does put you down with a notebook in your hands, which is honestly a huge barrier for me in the morning. And I do work on paper sometimes. So to actually just accomplish that, like if all she does for me is sits me down at the right hour of the day, holding the pen and the notebook out of a habit that I'm establishing, then we're doing some pretty important work right there. And what happened is that I was able to write, you know, a small amount about of the mind clearing stuff that she talks about. But then I would shamelessly use the time for what you and I like to call pre-writing, which means that I would write down, okay, so this morning I have to write the scene at the airport, and that scene is going to have the hero make a terrible mistake, and he's going to do the following. And then I would kind of like chug along with this for a couple pages, and it almost always, when I got in there and bothered to do this, would make the day's writing easier, which is, you know, ka-ching, the whole idea. So I have to say that on balance, even though I haven't succeeded in making this an honest-to-God daily habit, on balance, it does for me what she offers. And, you know, I should probably just double down.
I had to argue with her some more again in my head, obviously, because we don't actually know Julia Cameron. And if we did, I wouldn't argue with her about this because this is her thing and it can be her thing. It doesn't have to be my thing. So I went in last night and read this chunk of The Artist's Way. And I chose to do that via iBooks, which was probably a mistake because weirdly, for a 25-year-old super popular book, it is not formatted for digital. So you're like reading along and all of a sudden there'll be a quote in the middle of a paragraph in teeny-weeny print.
Oh, dear.
From, you know, Discord or something like that. That she, you know, presumably it was the top of the chapter. So that was frustrating, but we don't judge her. That isn't on the morning pages.
Right.
But, you know, to read the section, I was still arguing. One thing I on a practical level, I was still arguing with roll out of bed and immediately get your notebook. That's not my universe. So that was frustrating to me. And also her take on this in The Artist's Way, and it may have evolved, and I haven't watched the video yet, is very spiritual. And my approach to writing is anything but spiritual, so I kind of struggled with that. Did you have any, like, sort of response to that, or did you just sort of take the idea of morning pages and run with it without going in and reading her discussion of spirituality and creativity?
Well, instead, I listened to a couple of interviews that she had done, and one interview kind of took it in the direction of meditation.
She does mention that, yeah, that made some sense to me.
Well, this interviewer very much took it there, and, you know, and that worked for me as a concept. She liked that concept as well, that meditating with your pen, it is a great, it's like the part of meditation where you acknowledge the competing thoughts,
right.
Pat them on the head,
say.
Yeah, and set them to the side. So that spoke to me. Very much.
So
but of course,
this is like freeing the monkey mind
right
into the page so that you can get past it and do something else, not so that you can sit quietly.
Right, and not so that you can wake up feeling deeply spiritual and, you know, interesting. Because I'm sure that I don't.
Yeah, it's not that bad. It's more, it's a very Elizabeth Gilbert, we are all creative beings, let us, you know, let's, and being creative is an expression in Julia Cameron's words of your connection with God, but Elizabeth Gilbert would say, you know, of your deeper humanity, and that's just, I mean, this was written 25 years ago, that's probably all it is sort of a linguistic barrier that I had a little trouble getting past, so, but really, I had to get past the, like, sort of mechanical piece of it and go, okay, just because she says roll out of bed first thing in the morning and grab your notebook and pen doesn't mean I have to do it that way. I can roll out of bed first thing in the morning and do my other I mean, I have worked so hard to get a first thing in the morning exercise habit, and when I tried to put this in the way of it, it messed with the first thing in the morning, and I'm not messing with that. Like, that's
right.
That's not going anywhere. I need that. That is sanity, and that is everything else. So for me, I had to go, okay, just because she says first in the morning, that doesn't have to be what it means. It, you know, you can get the exercise out of the way, get the dealing with the family kid stuff out of the way, get any driving out of the way. And so for me, it's more, instead of being the first thing when I wake up, it's before I write. And that is still a little hard. Is that when you do it?
Yeah, and honestly, I didn't take it as literally as that. For me, it's like unfolding your yoga mat and putting it down and then sitting there. You know, the choice of changing your mindset to, we're writing things now.
Taking things literally and then arguing with them is definitely a thing that I do.
Yeah, see, I wasn't bothered by that at all. I mean, I'm lucky if it's, I do try to work in the morning because, you know, that is a sacred time in terms of channeling how the rest of the day goes. So
I do too.
Yeah, so I'm more likely to do this in the morning, but I wouldn't be very hung up on it if that's not how it worked out.
I think that maybe comes from listening to other writers talk about how, you know, if they wake up first thing in the morning and sort of grab whatever they're writing, that they're freer, they're more open, or that's where they do their morning pages. And I'm not sure that's Julia Cameron's fault so much as it is sort of listening to other people talk about it. And it just, I mean, I can get up first thing in the morning and go and exercise and nobody argues with me. But I guarantee you that if I were sitting around the house first thing in the morning clutching a notebook, I would be making breakfast before you. Or adjudicating an argument or something like that. And then they say wake up earlier and I have to argue with that every time you tell me to wake up earlier.
Advice to really wake up earlier has ever stuck with me ever. I've never been one of those heroes who can say, like, you know, I'm strapped for writing time, so 5 a.m. it is. You know, that is just never been me.
No, 5 a.m. writing club was never me either. When I needed 5 a.m. writing club or the equivalent, I just wrote at night. Like, but that's, you know, that's, I guess that's just your own cyclical nature. So I guess, when I managed to do some morning pages, and I did in part because I was like, well, we're going to talk about this. So darn it, I got to give this a shot. I'm going to give it a go. So it was a little bit like you where I would start with, you know, I'm doing these morning pages. Sarah thought we should do morning pages. Here I am. This is a little frustrating because I know I only have 2 hours and now I'm going to spend some of it doing this. But then I would, instead of going off into the pre-writing, it was a little bit like that. At some point, so my next book has a tarot card theme, and I had been sort of playing with pulling a tarot card every day. So I started pulling a tarot card and using that to write about. And I would either, I mean, sometimes I write about how it, I have a book that's, I didn't bring it upstairs, but it's about tarot and creativity. So sometimes I would write about what that tarot card says about, you know, might mean for my day's writing. But a lot of the times it turned into pre-writing. I would be like, oh, you know, this morning I drew the page of swords. And, you know, now that I come to think of it, this one character, he is very, like, you know, young and idealistic. And absolutely, that's part of why he annoys my protagonist so much. And he could do this and he could do this. And what if that? So it was less pre-writing of the plotty, useful kind, partly, I think, because it's not where I am in this book, and more of the, like, oh, this is why these people are doing this stuff. So it did end up, it ends up working that way, but I definitely have had a hard time making it into a habit. How often would you say that you're pulling it off?
A few times a week. Mm-hmm. And just getting back to your modification of using the tarot card pull, I think, you know, we often will look at an idea in writing and then ask ourselves, like, what would Becca Syme say? And I believe that she, the host of the Quit Cast on YouTube, who is wonderful about working with all kinds of writers where they are.
Right. She's wonderful about doing what works for you, not what works for other people.
Right. So I would imagine, haven't asked her myself, but I would imagine that she would feel very free to be flexible with something like this. And I know we're going to also do an episode soon about ideation, but this is, to me, morning pages, it's another arrow in the quiver. And my exercise of writing every day, every week, every month is all about using all the tools in the box and relearning lessons about how those tools work. You know, I'm constantly having to relearn, you know, a habit that I might have adopted a few years ago to get a book done is, oh, wait, that's the thing I need for this one, too. So so keeping all of these ideas and these habits and these tools near at, you know, at hand's reach is mm-hmm. pretty interesting to me. It sort of fits with what I'm trying to do. Like, there's no one right way to write
right.
a novel. And I don't always use the same method. So, you know, it's really great to have a few new things to try.
Yeah. I don't know if I have sort of room in my mental processes for another thing that has to be every day. Because that's part of why I want to adopt this a little bit differently, because I do like having some things I see benefit in every day for some things and at some times. So sometimes I'm in, you know, touch the file every day mode, and sometimes I'm in 1,000 words every day mode, and sometimes I'm in yoga every day mode, and sometimes once I was in meditate every day mode, but that didn't last very long. So I can sort of only have so many things on my everyday list. So I guess instead of putting this on the everyday list for the moment, I have it on the sort of when I can list. And I'm not sure. That is definitely not... that may be the Becca Symes suitable approach, but it's definitely not what Julia Cameron encourages you to do.
That is true.
Yeah.
And, of course, you bring up a good point, and maybe it's just my feed, but the world is always pushing habit stuff at me. And I noticed mm-hmm. that Atomic Habits by James Clear is back at the tippy top of the bestseller list again.
Hello, January.
Yeah, January. Like, I'm sure the gyms are full. And, you know, there's things that we all try to adopt in a sort of cyclical way, which is funny and, you know, uncomfortable mm-hmm. to think about. But now that we've tried and failed to adopt a lot of habits, or I sort of, and you do this too, like, in January, we're going to do this. We're going to emphasize this thing. And then next month, right. we're going to emphasize something else. So it's possible that the power of this habit could come from a shorter term but consistent approach. So
yeah,
the next time you're feeling really stuck or you're not even sure what project you're working on next, because we're all there once in a while, like, maybe that is the month for this.
Right, right. Or maybe, I mean, and maybe that's February. I still struggle with the time piece of it. I guess I'm still trying to convince myself that this isn't just using up my allotment of time/words for something that isn't useful. And I think I probably need to give it a fairer shot. But so many days for me, and today was one of them, and yesterday was one of them, are so, like, I just feel like somebody's chasing me with a whip all day long. It's like, this is at this time, and this is at this time. And I'm really, really stubborn about getting the words in, if it's at all possible. And some days, if you're running from one thing to the next, and you're never even in a parking lot, some days you have to let it go. But yeah, when I am looking at my day and going, all right, if I get up by X time, I'm time tracking right now, so I really know. Like, it takes me a half an hour to get to the desk, and really it takes me an hour. And then, you know, I have a thing at 10:30, so I only have an hour and 45 minutes. I'm not going to put some of that time into the pages. But maybe I should. Like, maybe I should give it a fair shot and see if... and measure it. Maybe I should measure the word thing. I don't know.
See, I feel that doing this requires a certain amount of abundant thinking. That, and I'm pretty sure that for me, that pays off. Because I think of myself as not having enough time. I have fewer children than you do and no hockey players. So it's possible that I do have a lot more time, or that it's less perfectly spoken for. But the abundant thinking of sitting down to do this first because it will make the second thing easier is deeply appealing to me and seems to hold a lot of promise, at least, you know, at least for now.
Well, maybe you have hit the nail upon the proverbial head, and this is not something I should try to do during hockey season when I am, as I so colorfully put it the other day, if it isn't on fire, I don't piss on it. It's just that, and not every day is like that. Honestly, most of my days aren't like that except this time of year, and I am deeply prone to forgetting that every time we're in the middle of this time of year. You remember it better than I do. You're like, do you want to come to my yoga? And I'm like, yes. And you're like, could you look at your hockey schedule first? And then I'm like, no.
Yep.
Can't come to yoga. You are right. That said, I love this time of year. I love the running around, but it is limited, so that's part of why.
Yeah, so okay, maybe so, cut yourself a short break on this and maybe revisit it in the spring.
Because I did do a little, as I'm looking back at the little, the notebook of morning pages, and it goes 12:10. Oops, it goes from 12:10 to 1:11, or 1:01. I did it on January 1st. Yay me. 12:06, 12:02. Yeah. But they were good. I mean, it's good when I do it. All right, so maybe it's a sometimes thing for me a little while, and then I will take some month, and I will be like, okay, this is the morning pages month, and then we can have a little check back in and see if it's
anybody. It does have a nice way of switching you from being someone who's taking in information and taking in other people's energy to using your own. So it's like the gear shift goes into writing, but even before you think of that first great sentence.
Yeah, I could see that. So you'd miss the sort of the opening up and trying to figure out where you were and. Yeah, I can see the gear shifting piece of it. It's just people have talked about this for so long, right? Like I've been hearing morning pages for just ever, and I've never tried to embrace it. So I guess we're trying. This was a very deeply half-assed try on my part, but. You pull it off a little bit better.
Well,
I wonder if we have any adherents of the artist's way out there. I haven't, having read the first chunk last night, I dumped it 25 years ago when I tried to read it, and I will dump it now. It just doesn't speak to me.
How about this? Let's ask our listeners to tell us in our Facebook group, the Am Writing Podcast Facebook group, if you have ever been a morning pages person and if you are one now. Because we would love to hear from you about how you use it in your lives.
I wonder if we'll get someone who's been like, I've done this every day for 10 years or something. You definitely hear people like that.
Yeah.
And it is cool.
That would be cool.
And inspirational. So, yes, tell us how you use your morning pages, if you use morning pages. And I don't know. I just don't feel convertible, but I'm trying to be more open about it.
All right. Well, don't worry about that. Okay. So, besides this book, what else have you been reading?
What else have I been reading? Darn it, I knew you were going to put me on the spot like that. You would think I could answer that.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, can you go first while I try to remember what I've been reading?
I am rereading a novel called Loud Is How I Love You by Mercy Brown. It is a romance novel that came out more than 5 years ago. And it takes place in 1995. It's a little bit of a throwback. And college-age characters who go to Rutgers and are in a band. And I'm thinking about writing something with music in it in the near-ish future. So, and I remembered that after reading only a chapter of Loud Is How I Love You, I knew that this author had been in a band. I just could feel it. Because it had that wonderful, close, nerdy observation of all things rock music in the 90s. And so I had a glorious time reading this book because her writing was just so great. And so I went back to it to remember what that was like to be really soaked into her musical experience as an author. And it's just as wonderful and funny as the first time I read it.
Cool. Have you eyed that? There is some book that lots and lots of people are reading that is about, I don't know, the evolution of music. And then I'm mixing it up because Chuck Klosterman has a book about the 90s that's out that I do want to read. And yet then there's also a book that is like music labels. It's like all kinds of deep, nerdy music label stuff that people have been talking about. I will find it and I will put it in the show notes.
Okay.
And then you can look at it and see if you have any. It doesn't interest me, music labels not being something that I am interested in, but I was thinking about checking out the Chuck Klosterman 90s book because that's not just music. It's like everything.
Cool.
More from a perspective of like, we were there, but I don't I often look back at that and think about, I wonder what that would have looked like seeing it as a real grown up. You know what I mean? I feel like, yeah, I knew that happened, but I don't know that I knew what it meant. So, all right, looking up both of those and putting them in the show notes. So I finished Leanne Moriarty. You know what? It's not Leanne. It's somebody else. Leanne Moriarty's first name is pronounced differently, but now I can't remember how. There aren't that many options. Leanne? Leon? Leon. It's Leon.
Okay.
That was it. That was it. All right. Leon, that makes me sound really pretentious. Ms. Moriarty's book, Apples Never Fall. I just finished that, and from a writer perspective, it is super interesting because the point of view moves from major characters to, like, waitresses or, you know, delivery people, which is something that she has always done. But I feel like this one is particularly rich in different voices, but never really, like, somebody that I was talking to about it the other day was like, well, I was really excited that the protagonist was a 60-plus-year-old woman. And I was like, I didn't think of her as the protagonist.
Ah.
So, but I could see why you would. She was sort of the core of the action, but I didn't necessarily think of her as the protagonist. I would be hard put to tell you who the protagonist was. So that was kind of interesting. I know that this wasn't people's favorite Moriarty book, and I haven't read them all. So, but I didn't. I enjoyed it, and again, just from the writery perspective of having all the characters look at each other from outside and sort of comment on that. So you're in the character's head, but then you hear what other people think of them. And then maybe you hear what a stranger thinks of them. That's pretty interesting.
So. Cool.
Good one to check out from your local library.
Well, how short would the passage from the waiter be? Or was it on a chapter by chapter
basis?
Like
three pages.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she didn't do the head hop. It's not a head hopping within chapters. Well, and they're probably not chapters either, but they're delineated. Then they might be chapter by chapter. I don't think it's chapter by chapter. I think it's more like you get, like, you know, a big space and a star or something in between.
Okay.
Narratives. Yeah, the people who aren't important, it would be very short.
Okay. Neat.
It's also kind of fascinating. I texted you guys about this, or you all about this, because the dribbling out of information, and it's like you're totally in here to figure out what in the backstory caused this thing in the present to happen, and everybody has pieces of it, and man, they just spit them out at like such a slow pace. Sometimes I'd be sitting there going, man, I just read five pages to get like half of a fact about this thing that I'm so curious about and really need to know.
But so you still kept turning
them. Oh, I was totally turning pages. It absolutely works. And yet it was super slow. And then I had thoughts about the ending that I would love to, if any readers out there had thoughts about the ending, reply to our show notes and tell me what they were. Because I had thoughts, but thoughts about endings aren't things we can do unless we spoil
things. No, unless we want hate mail.
No hate mail.
Right.
All right. Well, this was great.
It was fun.
Let's see. You already reminded people to join the Facebook group. I mentioned the show notes, and it is always true that if you get our show notes, which you can get at amwritingpodcast.com. It's in Substack, but it doesn't have Substack, unlike our email address. So amwritingpodcast.com. You can sign up for our show notes. They are free. You can also sign up to support the podcast there. But if you get our show notes and you hit reply when you get them, that reply will come straight to us. So we're always happy to hear it. And if you've been liking our recent coaching episodes where we have someone on and we talk them through anything from creating a platform to why they can't finish their novel, we would love to hear your questions and consider the possibility that whatever you're wondering about would make for a great episode. So you can email us for that one. That would be amwriting@substack.com.
Okay.
All right. Well, you get to take us out. You say it.
It's been a pleasure. And until next week, keep your butts in the chair and your heads in the game.
The hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Same.